Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. All right, who would you put in your empty chair and what would you ask them? John in Paramus. Hi, John.
How you doing? I would put Warren Buffett, and I would ask him what would he do to straighten out, A, the economy and get people back to work.
I think he may be put in a full chair and ask that very soon. Framf, is it, in Manhattan? You're on WNYC.
Yes, hi, Brian. Thank you very much. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I would like to sit down Paul Ryan or really any other politician who quotes Ayn Rand and ask them what they think of Kurt Vonnegut, if they've even read Kurt Vonnegut.
Why
diametric opposite?
Diametric, that's why Vonnegut in particular. Okay, thank you very much. Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Who would you put in your empty chair?
Well, I would choose any from among, say, Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or John Adams and ask them, as deists, are you founding a Christian nation?
Thank you very much. And again, just a reminder, you can put non-political people. I don't mind if this is all political, if that's what you want to do, but you can put non-politicians in your empty chair as well. We can go broad with this, 212-433-WNYC. By the way, did you happen to see this morning, Smithsonian Magazine posted on their blog an article that reads in part, "It turns out that the history of debating empty chairs is a rich one, stretching back to at least 1924, when Democratic vice presidential nominee Burton Wheeler took a stab at an invisible president, Calvin Coolidge. According to Wheeler's biographer, the hall was jammed to the rafters. I said, you people have a right to know how a candidate for president stands on issues, and so far President Coolidge has not told you where he stands on anything, so I'm going to call him before you tonight and ask him to take this chair and tell me where he stands." And according to the Smithsonian, people in the auditorium began to crane their necks to see if Coolidge really was somewhere on the premises. We pulled a vacant chair to see if it had an occupant, as though it had an occupant, says Smithsonian. "President Coolidge, I began," writes Wheeler, "tell us where you stand on prohibition." And the crowd roared in appreciation. All right, how about Tom in Park Slope. Tom, you're on the air. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I would like to speak with FDR and ask him, where did we go wrong? Why are we throwing away his legacy of the New Deal? Why are we destroying the government that has protected us over these years? The few things that Obama did, the greatest things he did, like health care and the stimulus, as shadows of the New Deal, he's being crucified for.
Tom, thank you very much. Another one from Smithsonian, by the way. From history, in 1949, here in New York, John Foster Dulles ran for a Senate seat against Herbert Lehman, the former governor. Dulles traveled with a prop, an empty chair, that he debated in lieu of Lehman himself. Benny in Marlboro. You're on the air. Hi, Benny.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who's in New York?
I would have Friedman, the columnist, New York Times columnist, with Fareed Zakaria, and I would just want to sit back and listen to their conversation about today's problems and solutions to them, as opposed to hearing all the hyperbole from the politicians.
Thank you very much. Richard in Manhattan, who's in your empty chair?
Yes, no, I just want to recall that I had learned this technique in an acting class, and it's to prompt a conversation and to have your audience believe that there is someone there engaging in conversation. I also happen to be a trial lawyer. And subsequent to the acting class, during the course of a trial, I had a successful course examination. And during the summation to the jury, I walked over and I asked questions of the empty witness chair, recalling for the jury what had successfully been done during the course of the trial. Subsequently, the judge led us to ask the jury what they thought, and the jury thought that that technique was wonderful.
Good technique, yeah. And, it's interesting that it came from acting class. I'm sure it's not the first time that Clint Eastwood, a pro, yes, an aging pro, as we saw last night, but a pro, not the first time that he's done that. And it was kind of a piece of performance art. I mean, that's what it was supposed to be. Clinton's like, I don't need a teleprompter. I need an empty chair, and then I'm going to go do my thing. Well, you figure he's done it before. Fred in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Fred.
Hello. Good morning. I'd put President Obama in the chair, and I'm wondering, I would ask him why didn't he or someone, a spokesman from his administration, challenge the distortions and lies that came on a regular basis, practically a daily basis, from people like Mitch McConnell or John Boehner or Eric Cantor. Why didn't they challenge that in a forum that would be widely heard and disseminated?
And they may have that forum next week at the thing known as the Democratic National Convention. Fred, thank you. Another one from Smithsonian, from the history of empty chairs in Russia. An empty chair was left to stand in for Boris Yeltsin, who had refused to participate in a televised debate. Roscoe in Orange County, who's in your empty chair?
Hi, Brian. I'd put Lee Harvey Oswald in the chair and ask him if there really was a conspiracy surrounding the assassination of JFK.
With some truth serum.
That's it.
Roscoe, thank you very much. Just last week, Smithsonian reminds us, Scott Howell, who is currently running for the Senate seat in Utah, debated an invisible Orrin Hatch. I didn't know that. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, Democrat Scott Howell, Constitution Party nominee Sean McClausland, and unaffiliated candidate Bill Barron took turns throwing verbal darts at the absent Hatch before an audience of just 20 people at the bountiful City Hall. Maria in Gutenberg, you're on the air. Who's in your empty chair?
Marco Rubio.
What would you
and
ask
I will
him?
Ask him, why did he forget to mention...
To mention what? Do we lose you? Oh, we lost Maria. Okay, so we won't find out what she was going to ask Marco Rubio. And, of course, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that Piers Morgan had an empty chair on his CNN show just the other week after Todd Akin didn't show up for a scheduled interview. Well, thanks, and keep posting your empty chair conversations to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show or tweet them at us. I want to thank a lot of people who made our convention coverage possible this week. Our producer, Paige Cowett, was amazing in Tampa, getting us so many great guests. And the whole team in New York, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Alana Casanova-Burgess, Mae Sussman, Christina Maldonado, and Rebecca Swanberg, plus evening special intern Catherine Stupp. Our senior producer, Megan Ryan, working her usual magic. Andrea Bernstein for conjuring a mostly swing states radio network out of thin air for our evening specials. Plus Debbie Fountain, Leora Noam Kravitz, and Jason Isaac putting up with the constant chaos we were flinging at them at the audio controls. So what can I say? But thank you, callers, for making a major, amazing contributions all week, too. Have a great Labor Day weekend. And let's do it all again next week from Charlotte, eh? Brian Lehrer on WNYC.